Sing with me one more stanza of a great hymn.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
We are going to be in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, if you brought your Bibles with you. We will be in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. We will be there briefly. Again, if you brought your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and find that. If not, the scripture will be on the screen behind me when we get to that point. I asked Bill to sing one stanza of that song, O Come Emmanuel, in part for a selfish reason. It's my favorite Christmas hymn. And maybe the reason why it's my favorite Christmas hymn is also the second reason why I had him sing it this morning, is because I think it's one of the most real Christmas hymns, in that it captures that sense of waiting for the Lord, waiting for the coming of Jesus. The people in the day that Jesus was born had been awaiting the Messiah for literally centuries, hearing nothing via prophets, hearing no word from God via any of the prophets. They had been silent for centuries. And so when people spoke of what God used to do, it wasn't just like a previous generation or even their grandfather or their great-grandfather. It was further back than any of them could remember. Further back than even the time that song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, was first written. It was centuries before these people had heard anything about God when Jesus actually came into the scene. And that hymn, O Come Emmanuel, kind of captures that sense of angst and waiting, that sense of where is God and why has he not shown himself yet, that sense of loneliness even, awaiting in a state of exile, awaiting for the Lord to come and make everything right. When I was a student, or actually I was a student minister, I was 18 years old, and so you could go either way on that one. It was the first job that I had in the church world, my church that I grew up at. I accompanied our youth to a youth camp one time. And those of us who were youth ministers, I being the youngest among them or other youth leaders, we had our own small group time during this camp. It was at Glorieta, New Mexico. Many of you have probably been there at a centrifuge camp. And during the icebreaker portion of our little group together, the gentleman who was leading, who happened to be the worship leader for that week, he handed out pipe cleaners to everybody. And he said, with the pipe cleaner, I want you to somehow describe or depict your worst fear. And I was toward the end of the line, and so I was watching other people grow. Mine was really quick, and so I'd already got mine all the way together, and I was watching all of these other minister types, youth ministry types, and of course, in those kind of settings, many people desire to be funny, and so most of them were funny. You know, some guy just left the pop cleaner alone and threw it on the ground and said, I'm afraid of snakes. That was his depiction of his worst fear. Others were a little bit more serious, but many of them, again, were funny. And it came around to me, and all of a sudden, I didn't feel nearly as creative as the rest, and I felt kind of in the spotlight, and really even the fear that I was about to depict all of a sudden came upon me, because what I had done is I had rolled the pop cleaner in a nice little ball, and I had said in a moment of honesty, maybe looking back, at least in that moment looking back, I didn't like the honesty because I suddenly felt vulnerable, but I said, my greatest fear is being alone. And again, that was pretty honest for that moment, maybe a little too vulnerable for what I was looking for, certainly not what the leader was expecting. But maybe you can identify with that as well. The fear of being by oneself. It might be not just my greatest fear, it might be humanity's greatest fear. And it's at Christmas where that sense of loneliness can often feel the most oppressive, where we realize those that used to be with us that no longer are. or our loneliness is highlighted by other people's seeming wonderful family being surrounding them. A French philosopher by the name of Jean de La Bruyère says this: all men's misfortunes spring from their hatred of being alone. Think about that for a moment. Do you think it's an overstatement to say that all human evil, all human misfortune is a result of the fear of being alone? Before you think, oh yeah, that seems like a big overstatement, let me give you a few examples. There are several examples of evils in this world perpetrated by people out of the fear of being alone. Many people join cults, not paying attention to what they do and all of the craziness and the violence that goes on within cults because they want to belong to a group of people. And a cult offers that sense of belonging. You are important. The rest of the world doesn't think so, but we will welcome you in and you will feel at home amongst us. Many murders are done in the name of passion. You've heard the stories, you've watched the Dateline episodes, you've seen the examples of a scorned spouse whose husband or whose wife had cheated on them and left them. You've seen them go and commit murder because if I'm going to be alone, then everybody else will too. Again, those are just a couple of examples. One of the great evils of our day perhaps might be perpetrated because of the fear of being alone, that being Islamic terrorism. Imagine having the promise that if you kill an infidel and you die that way, that you will be surrounded by more than your imagination, your worldly imagination could possibly conceive, and you will be welcomed into the gates of heaven by Allah himself. Maybe it's not an overstatement to say that evil and misfortune, when it comes to humankind, spring from our hatred of being alone. Loneliness and exclusion often result in resentment, hatred, and even madness. The good news is that Christmas is the ultimate cure to that loneliness. And that name that we call Jesus at this season, Emmanuel, is the proof in the pudding that shows us that Jesus is indeed the answer to our loneliness. That word meaning God with us. Not God for us, not God on behalf of us. All of those things are true of Jesus. But the part of Jesus that we focus on in the Christmas season is God with us. And let's read the scripture upon which that name arises. Again, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they had came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. A few things in this scripture. It says that Jesus will be the one to save the people from their sins. We know that sin is missing the mark of what God has for us. Sin results in the separation between man and God, and even between men and other women. Sin results in total separation. We see in Genesis 3, the first time sin enters the world, we see this realized completely. We see Adam and Eve hiding from God after their sin, as if they could do such a thing. But their sinfulness and their guilt that came with that being moved to separate themselves from God. When God finds them and confronts them about their sin, they turn on each other, showing the separation even between themselves. Sin results in that separation. And being lost in sin, being separate from God, being separated from each other, that is the preface to the Christmas story. That is the setting in which Jesus arrives. It serves as the background. It serves as the reason for which Jesus came to bring an end to that separation, to bring a resolution to that problem and reconcile both man to each other and man back to God. Jesus came to undo what sin had done. He came to bring that reconciliation. Have you ever had someone, or have you ever felt a sense of true loneliness? Not just the sense of oh, it's Friday night and I don't have anything to do. I wonder if anybody's busy, and you start calling people up or texting people or whatever, but a sense of true, desperate loneliness. Maybe you've been there, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've led a fortunate and blessed life where you've never been deep in that feeling. Many of you, if you have been freshmen in college, you might know that sense of loneliness in a new way when you are separated from home, separated from parents. Perhaps you felt it in other reasons, for other reasons known only to you in this moment. But have you ever had someone break into that loneliness? Have you ever been in that midst of desperation and had a friend or a family member come in and make you feel welcome all of a sudden? To bring back those feelings of happiness and love and being included. There is nothing worse, again, when it comes to the idea of loneliness, there is nothing worse, in my opinion, no fear greater than the fear of being excluded from everyone else. It goes back all the way to when we were kids and we didn't want to be picked last on the playground, that sense of exclusion and being excluded while everybody else is having fun and being left over here all by ourselves and lonely. Have you ever had someone come in and break into that and say, you're not alone in this? Maybe you suffered a great tragedy and someone else who had been through that same tragedy came alongside you and said, you are not alone in this. And you had someone pierce the darkness in that moment and break into your sense of loneliness. It's as if when it comes to the Christmas story that we're like that perfect metaphor for loneliness. Sitting alone on our couch on a Saturday night, watching a sappy movie, eating ice cream straight out of the carton, trying to numb our pain with our phones or booze or whatever vice fits you personally. And in walks the Son of God, God himself manifested in the flesh to sit beside us and to let us know, indeed, you are not alone. You are not by yourself. You are not separate from God or from mankind any longer. Your sin may tell you another story. The world around you may tell you another story. Your own mind may even tell you another story. But you are not alone. In the Christmas story, God becomes man. Puts on flesh, is tempted in every way that we are yet without sin, pulls up beside us and offers us not only salvation, not only an eternity in heaven, but he offers us the hand of friendship. Yeah, I actually said friendship. We often don't think about that with God because he is holy and he is other and we need to respect him as such. But in John chapter 15, when Jesus is speaking with his disciples moments before he will go and eventually be delivered to the cross, he says, you are my friends. We see this sense of friendship when Jesus prays for them two chapters later in the book of John, and he aches for them that God would take care of them because he had done everything he could to give himself to them while he was on the earth. Jesus called his disciples his friends, and we being his followers today can also call ourselves friends of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. It's the only story like it. I know I harp on this often, but it deserves to be told yet again. It is the only story in all of human experience where God puts on flesh, descends to us, and lives with us. That God actually offers himself to us, not just to be crucified, but to go through day-to-day life with us and beside us, comforting us through his Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, one chapter before the chapter I mentioned just a second ago, Jesus tells his disciples that I'm leaving, but I'm sending someone else after me who will be here with you to comfort you. We know that person as the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, Jesus himself in the Spirit amongst us and within us today. We are not alone. And in a world where loneliness is so prevalent, in a world where people suffer in quiet desperation from depression and feelings of loneliness, all the way from children to those who are old and alone, all the whole gamut across all ethnicities, across all backgrounds of any kind, whether you're rich or you're poor, no matter what, this sense of loneliness that is just almost pervasive in human society, we have the answer. We have the antidote. And the proof is that God is with us. Jesus has come for us. And in a world full of loneliness, you need to hear this morning, that it's not just about the presence. It's not just about all the tradition and the fun, and all of that stuff is awesome. I love every minute of it. But the most important part of this story that should be told on every day of the year, not just Christmas Day, is that God, Jesus, is with us. Emmanuel. And as we sometimes, in that same sense of desperation that the author of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel must have felt as he penned the words, we can, in that moment of desperation, know that Jesus has come and changed the tune and suddenly say, rejoice, rejoice, for God is with us. God has not just come to save you, but to live with you. And the invitation to be involved in the life of God was written in a manger in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago, and it's still open to you today. Each and every single person in this room, one great truth from Christmas is that you are not alone. No matter how lonely you may feel at times, no matter how frustrated you may be by not being able to share life with those that you want to share life with, you are not, nor will you ever be alone if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came, and he came to live with you and with me, and you are never alone. Merry Christmas. This is the reason. This is the celebration. May we rejoice in that as we celebrate with each other the people that God has put into our lives, and as even when we are alone and by ourselves, we celebrate with the God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. God is with us, and Christmas is the proof. Let's stand together during our time of invitation. I encourage you in this moment to reflect over the fact that God is with us through his son Jesus, and to rejoice as we sing together one last time. Rejoice because Emmanuel has come. He has come for you and come for me. And if there is anybody here this morning that would like to know more about this Jesus that I'm talking about, stick around after the service. Come and talk to me about it. I would love to tell you more about him, and maybe you can begin a relationship with him today. But everyone else, as you celebrate Christmas, rejoice, for God is with us. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing our song of invitation. Father, once again, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for coming for us when we didn't deserve it. And God, we thank you for piercing the darkness of our loneliness so that we might find belonging in you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.